You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Yeah, screw it. You know, hit go low. So if this red light on the screen is anything to believe, we are live. And oh my God, look at Ryan. Oh my God, look at that. That is amazing.
It's that is fantastic. Amazing.
I love it. Love
the pencil mustache.
I used to be the man.
Reinhold, you still right. are. Okay. All right.
You want a better one? How about that one?
Oh, the same facial expression. He's just always had this one.
Always had chubby cheeks.
That's the same smile. This is amazing. That's awesome. So those who are just tuning in and wondering where the heck is the Chris Spangle show? Too bad you're not getting it. Welcome to Low Key Wall. Yeah. Before we go live, a lot of time we have discussions in the back room. For the Chris Spangle show, that is for the patrons. The patrons get that stuff. But for Low Key Wall, that's just between us. But we did go live in the middle of it, and Reinhold was throwing out some really cool photos. I'm still waiting for the photos with him in the white suit and his Ferrari driving around. But we've got some other ones, though.
You can't show that Ferrari. It got confiscated for all the coke that was in the trunk.
Oh man, yeah, man.
It was a DeLorean. Come on, man.
I don't know if he's joking because Reinhold does look like a guy who would probably have a DeLorean.
Like before the movie
I
could came
have
out.
One, I would have one. Yeah,
yeah. Before the movie made it cool.
Yeah.
Because the DeLorean.
Oh, they were the thing. The doors opened up in this. I love the way the doors opened up. That's so nice. It's terrible, really, but it's nice.
Do people really think the DeLorean was cool?
People did at the time.
Before the movie.
Mm-hmm. Before the movie. It was cool. And then he got busted, and that threw everything into a tailspin, and then the movie got made.
Yeah, that's true. Which is. Maybe we should do an episode of The Fall of AMC. What? I liked a lot of AMC cars. Okay. I liked some of them. And the awfulness of the Dodge bailout, screw Dodge, and the Coca.
Yeah.
Even though they did make some really cool cars.
I'm telling you, early 80s, the Pacer was the best car out there. Oh, people loved that thing.
Yeah, just, you know, just. And it was like, I thought this was low-key wall, not car talk. Well, you know.
I mean, it's low-key wall. It's basically anything at this point.
Yeah, we do what we want. We have a topic today, which today's episode, if you're wondering where these titles keep coming from, it's not from my brain. I struggle at titles and just do stream of consciousness when I have to create a title. So that's why I lean on Vincent. Vincent, it came with the titles. Vincent, do you want to talk about today's title?
Yeah, this is... Since we're doing the more of the anime talk, I just all the titles for this series, I'm just combining all the names of the three things we're talking about to make a title. So I'm doing GE Good Ending, Harry's doing the Eighth Mobile Suit Team, and then Reinhold's doing Terry Pratchett.
And it's a good way to create and make the titles. It's very creative. Me personally, I'm proud of it, you know, and then I also like the Rascal Doesn't Dream part. It helps, you know, everyone knows, like, well, yeah, consistency. And then as we tell, we do something like that topic. If you just want to follow that topic along, you look for that title, you're good to go. You know, because I'm not going to number things. If you see a number on it, that's Spangle doing it. That's a Spangle thing, and it's great, and I'm glad he does that. That's his energy, that his Virgo rising energy that he has. Okay, all right. Okay, right. That's it. Sorry. I'm a Taurus. I'm stubborn, stuck in my ways, do what I want. I will blame the moon and the stars for everything wrong in my life, and you can't take that from me, Vincent.
Whoa. Yeah, you're a Manchu, so you should follow the manosphere, so the male equivalent of horoscopes and stuff, or like the alpha beta stuff.
No.
So you should probably be believing in that instead. Oh, man. That's with your sigma male grind set over there.
I'm sick and tired. It's so okay. Stupid. All right. We need to get on topic, but I want to rant about that. I'm sick and tired of like the Sigma. Because every time I mention that I get up at 4 a.m. and I study and I clean the house, like, oh, so you're Sigma. What the fuck is that? I'm not a Greek. I didn't go to a Greek house. I'm not a Sigma. I'm like, no, you're this type of like, nah, bruh. I'm not that. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you just made
up. Stop trying to put us into categories for no reason.
Yeah.
Go away.
If that does something for you and it makes you better in your life and does something good for you, good for you. Good, good. If it makes you better, good. But that's, you know, yes, people. I get up at 4 a.m. every day so I can read a book, which my current book I am reading, so I can keep up with Reinhold, is 6 Not So Easy Pieces. I've got the audiobook version and I follow along in the book. I just finished 6 Easy Pieces. Because the goal is to finish, get to this book here, In Search for Schrodinger's Cat, by John Gibson. So quantum physics and reality. So, but I'm not that type of science guy, so I got some studying.
What are you talking about, Harry? Every science anime brings up Schrodinger's cat for no reason. So you can watch one of those. You that's where you can find it.
But like, sometimes they bring it up correctly, sometimes they bring it up wrong. Just like, I'm sure, like, Reinhold, you'll probably say, like, yeah, TV shows bring up, like, Schrodinger's cat wrong, or even if they bring up, like even, like, your type of science. Like, they bring that up wrong, because I think for the one of the shows we're working for, the Chris Spangle show up, I was trying, got a clip of NCIS of their hacking scene with the two people in the same keyboard. Set two people on the same keyboard. I'm going to put up a firewall, put this thing, oh, no, I'm getting hacked through my power cord. Okay. All right. Technically, that can happen, but not like that.
We can't hear you, Reinhold.
We can't hear you. I know. Great.
I was on mute.
Yeah.
So the best representation of that I've seen of hacking was that the robot TV show, I Am Robot,
Mr. Robot, yeah,
which was an excellent show, by the way. The ending was awesome. Watch it, but that's the, you know, then you watch The Net or some other movie that has hacking, and there's this graphical interface of the hacking taking place. I'm like, that's not how it works. It's almost all command line. It's so boring for movies and TV. That's why they don't show it right.
Right. Yeah. 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 Even in Hackers, I think the best representation is that they had like flappers and stuff on floppy chips they would load into their computers to throw out first and then switch out floppies. That's realistic because no one wants to keep a, you know, freaking virus on their computer at all times because misclicks happen.
No. Oh, fuck. Or
just bad code. You could just write back and like, hey, on boot, run this. Oops.
All right, guys, don't turn off your computers. Why?
So I get infected by a virus back in 91, 92, back when we just had PCs. We didn't have, I think Windows was just starting to get going, you know, the original 3.1. And it was called the flip virus.
Okay. And
all it did was it flipped your video upside down. I got downloading JPEGs from a bulletin board. So just, you know, you can imagine what those were about.
Judging it, yeah, because it's Reinhold, I'm going to assume it's a
schematics for nuclear reactors.
I was going to say a ponytail care and ponytail extensions.
Well, you saw this picture of the past. He didn't have a ponytail there.
That's true.
I wouldn't
have that pencil mustache.
I wouldn't have one today, but I had my hair cut recently, so I had like 7 inches cut off, and now I look like a page boy with my hair down. I gotta get it layered. My wife's gonna layer it, but it's a little embarrassing right now to see it. It just sits all at the same length right about here, and it's just like,
oh wow,
what did you do that for?
It's not like most guys actually, like when they finally shave their beard and go like, why did I do that?
I hate it.
Yeah, I knew a mod for like a streamer, and he shaved his beard like a month ago, and he's like, "Look how, look!" And then like the next day, streaming with no camera, like I'm not getting back on camera until my beard comes back.
It doesn't look right. I'm so used to it. It's bad. This is bad. I look like a baby. I'm like 20 years younger, and I'm only 20.
Yeah, and as a mod, you're like, "No, no, it looks fine. Looks great. You look fine."
Loki in the mod chat. Lol, look at this dumb mod.
Look at this guy. Oh man, but yeah, it was.
Does he need to do his homework still?
He works as like just like Roto, he stays in all the time, so it was like super pale, like right here. Two different tones. It was awful. It was awful. It was awful. I will admit, it was awful. So I'm kind of glad it's being back. But yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Also, bit of advice, unless you're an expert, don't trim your own beard. Have someone else do it. Trust me. You just start, like, you mess up a line and line and line. And next thing you know,
it's gone.
You're looking like me. And this will be transitioned to our our shave commercial, which we are not going to do. I don't have a shave.
Really, that's gone.
Are we doing Harry's now, or we have to do the other
one? Manscaped.
What the other one that all the people on the right has switched is going to switch to? What is it called? Jeremy's
Harry's razors? Woke.
Yeah. Woke. Jeremy's. Yeah, because Harry's razors got woke. I don't know. It took me a while to switch to Harry's razors and I enjoy my Harry's razors now. Honestly, I switched to Harry's razors to be honest because the Bob and Tom show when they did a promotion on it. And I was like, oh, that's a good discount. So I got it. And then I freaking sucked at it. Like, I was cutting myself. I had no idea. But then I watched, like, the video of Tom Griswold, like, actually shaving with the fuck thing. And I was like, huh, I'm shaving wrong. And I watched Tom shave. And I was like, huh, doing it now. Doing it right now. That feels great. This is amazing, buddy.
We'll just know if we get a sponsor deal from Manscaped, I will gladly endorse it. If apparently you're all Harry's razors now. So.
Oh, God. I am bought and paid by no one. I'm, willing to sell everything and everything. I'm willing to sell the logo on my hat.
Okay, that's right? Fair.
If you want to buy the logo spot here on my hat, it's up for sale. Okay, so if you want to put your logo there, talk to Chris Spangle and get this. That's it.
I've got a whole green screen for advertising. If you somebody wants to throw down some cash.
Yeah.
MFC sponsorships.
No, we're not doing that.
Hey, you said anybody.
Oh my goodness. All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode before we get too long in the tooth and get too silly out here. So the thing we were talking about is going back in the series of doing media that shaped us. A lot of the like hardcore media that has, shaped how like our views or just our personalities or just touched us, reached out from the silver screen or sometimes in Reinhold's thing through the copper coils and into our ear and gave us earworms to let us go, this has changed me, and I want other people to listen to this. So let's see. Looks like Dear Leader is watching us, Please,
I didn't hear the part where I cut 7 inches off.
Yeah, sorry, Spangle. But maybe
too late.
Maybe he wants you to get high and tight. Bring it high and tight.
I could shave it. I shaved it for my wife's cancer, so I had it all shaved off.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. There's pictures. This was 10 years ago. You wouldn't have seen it.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to get on Facebook and just look through Reynolds' photos. Like
photos of Ryan, the real name. But since I'm not allowed to use my chosen name on Facebook, we have to deal with that.
Oh, you can get that changed.
You cannot be a single name on Facebook unless you sign up through Bangladesh, and only that I've never been able to get that to work.
Oh, so we just need to go to Bangladesh?
Interesting.
I think so. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Bangladesh.
I have to do like a VPN and appear from and change the language to to that language, and it's. So you have to look at the steps to do it because you can't tell what it's saying. So you have to, it's a whole thing.
I bet we can get this paid for, actually. I bet we could probably find somebody. Like, I'm sure they've got like a fiver of someone in
Belgium. Oh my God.
That you could probably pay money to, like, hey, I've got $50. I need you to make this account.
Well, I've seen some people with single names before, and I'm like, how did you get that? And they're just like, oh, I just had it. And I'm like, I seriously need to know the step-by-steps on how you did it, because I would switch it in a heartbeat. I would have my one account just for, like, family and stuff like that, and move everything politically to Reinhold. But I've got a Reinhold page, but nobody cares about pages on Facebook. It doesn't show up in timelines right, and yeah. I don't know. I put something out, I get an engagement of like three people. So I'm like, I get more engagement on Instagram than I do on Facebook.
You can probably
post memes to Instagram and it posts to Facebook at the same time. And you can see Instagram actually shows it, gets it out there to people. Mine, not so much. Except for the one time when Dear Leader shared one of my memes that I posted. And then all of a sudden I had 440% increase in engagement. It was like
nice
1200 likes or something like that.
Yes. Sometimes I always forget that I have a Twitter. you're like tags me something like, I have a Twitter. Forgot all about it. Forgot all about this thing. I don't go here.
I don't use this.
I have Twitter right there. It's,
Yeah. Follow at Reinhold on Twitter.
You don't even go here.
Yeah, you can follow Vincent at his. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Follow him around at his job. Just tell him how good a job
is. No, Skelger does that enough.
Anyway, so back to the topic.
Come on, we're only halfway the first half hour. I mean, we can't get jumped right into it that fast, can we?
This is not going to be a 4-hour show. No 4-hour show, sir. Stop it. Stop.
You say so.
Yeah. Sorry. No
4-hour. Yeah, you're assuming that Reinhold isn't going to literally spend an hour talking about Terry Pratchett by himself.
Should we do a 24-hour?
I'm going to be reading books. I'm going to start with the one book. I'm just going to start reading through it. And 42 books later, and we'll be done.
Book reading stream.
Oh my God. we should probably, you know what? That'd be a fun stream. Like a Reinhold gets you into Discworld.
I'll do all the character voices like Death and Granny Weatherwax. And
if you found. If you need help leaving Harry Potter, Reinhold's here to help you.
That's actually a thing. Did you see that one? I think you showed it to me. But I've seen it before.
Yeah. So is it true? Or some people like, now we're getting I was going to bring this up.
About what?
Yeah. Oh, well, because the author of Harry Potter is a little problematic right now.
Right. Are you talking about the game issue or what? Or just people just leaving?
Just the author.
The turf issue.
Yeah, I know. But people were saying that since there's a new Harry Potter, like, Hogwarts Experience game, people are like, if you play that game, you support her, even though she has literally nothing to do with this entire thing. And you're basically telling a company to go F themselves because you're not going to give them a shot, even though she has no connection with this at all. And none of her characters show up either.
Well, I hate Sony. And
and yet you like Sword Art Online.
Not now. Now that I know, it's trash anime. That's trash. It's trash now. Now it's trash.
Well, they've been So the thing was that they were trying to say, hey, if you like fantasy, and Harry Potter's not your thing anymore for some reason, whatever it may be, then here's Terry Pratchett, who's got like 46 books out there that you can read, or more than that. He's just got that's just in the Discworld series. He's got other books beyond that. And if you look at they did a top 200. The BBC did a top 200 in books back in about 10 years ago. And there were like five of his in the top 100 and 15 in the top 200.
Wow.
More than any other author.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Harry Potter is just big because like it got pushed on everybody at a generation of kids around the same time.
It was the right time. It was just
competing with it. Yeah.
Right. There's a reason why like the Hunger Games got super massive and now most people forgot it existed.
Well, I still got my Animorph books, so you know. Yeah, which you know, I try to read Animorph books to Gunther, and she wasn't having it. She just likes the photos and the little things on the side. But yeah. But it comes to YA novels, you know, Animorphs. Yeah, but yeah, it does get kind of creepy at some point when you see like grown adults now, like all like Harry Potter houses. Like sometimes it is when you take a step back, it's like, okay, come on. Let's.
How many? I know people who just live to go to Disney every year. It's like their big thing. I'm like, you're 40 years old. Why are you still like entranced with Disney? I don't understand.
I mean, certain people just have a mindset where they don't grow out of it. And, you know, fandoms are a thing. I mean, there's,
you mean that there's media out there that people get, that affects them personally.
Right. Exactly.
And informs their, who they are and exactly. Then they end up talking about it years later on a podcast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, perfect. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool.
Perfect.
I didn't know that was happening.
That really doesn't happen anyway. So secret Disney fan Vincent over here, you know, like you try to defend Disney. Look at him.
Well, I like comic books and Marvel's technically Disney, and I haven't watched a movie since Endgame, but still.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. I've lost some hope after the Hawkeye. I was hoping the Hawkeye was just going to be like, this is going to be good. And it was just, this was just.
It's fine.
WandaVision was really good and Loki was really good.
I was hoping like they, you know, would granted like, I think if Hawkeye was able to be released as a, you know, back in the
Netflix
day,
for
a Netflix is a Netflix show, you know, like if they did like, and let Hawkeye hunt down Punisher or something like that, you know, or just been there with him, that would have been another stellar and amazing bridge as if Hawkeye was like the bridge from the Defenders over.
You're missing the more interesting thing. It would have been Hawkeye versus Bullseye. You know, two people who are great at fucking archery and aiming and knowing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would have been cool.
Yep. Especially get the king. A lot better than Danny Rand. Anyway, so. That's what I wanted to talk about. Like, and to kick this ball off running, the thing I wanted to bring up is the episode. We're going back to Universal Century. Heck yeah. Freaking Gundam Mobile Suit 18. This is, how can I put it? Before Vietnam was cool. Now, see, that's a reference to That is a reference from like the old Call of Duty games remember 10 years ago, was it 8 years ago when everything was going to Vietnam? I think even Magicka had a Vietnam for some freaking reason.
All the commies used to be in World War II, or they were all fighting Germans too.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where a lot of that stuff came from. Hydra and Captain America, all that stuff came out of the World War II stuff.
Yeah, well, Gundam decided to have a so when I talked about Mobile Suit Gundam, that was the original Gundam. So the Gundam that you saw there, that was the prototype RX-78, okay. And the other Mobile Suits in the series were either Zaku, basic Zakus, or Gems, basic Gems. Get it, Gems, Joes. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so in 8th Mobile Suit Team, the Gundam, while proving itself, they decided to make not the same, just like the prototype. The prototype is still the bee's knees. It's the most powerful Gundam around at the time. But they made different ones. I mass-produced Gundam. So, and they were given to, basically, people in, you know, basic strand of force. So the power of a Gundam, beam rifles, all the amazing armor. And this was cut. They allowed these people to go off in Southeast Asia, you know, having battles and fights. And I'm sure Brian Holmes was like, hold on. They had these massive mechanical robot things in Southeast Asia. Yes, Brian Holmes. And the whole series was an amazing thing. Here, let me pull up if my thing doesn't break again. Because
Hopefully.
Like, Well, like I said, I've been on the quest for a different web browser for the longest time, and I love Vivaldi. I love it. I love it. But it's so broken. It's so broken, and I'm so mad because I like it. I love its features, and it's really hard to leave.
I love Vivaldi. So broken. So great because you can do it. You know, you can make it look the way you want and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't work anymore. It's so bad.
What happened?
It was good for a while, and then
I don't know.
Switch back.
I refuse. I don't want to go back. I'd rather just crash me or take all my RAM and processors or heat my room up. I don't care. I want it to be fixed.
It's going to call in pizza for you. Yeah.
It's fine. I supplement with Edge sometimes, so it'd be okay. Yeah, I said it. I use Edge.
Edge is cool. Yeah. It's Chromium based.
Yeah. I know. I really feel like just going to Chromium and just say screw it. Just go Chromium. Just go Chrome.
You can pull up, you can get the developer package from Microsoft, the .NET development tool, which is free, and build your own web browser. It's not that hard to have actually documentation out there where you can type in the commands and you have a basic web browser. Nice. There you go.
Nice. Maybe I should do that. Just pull the parts from Vivaldi that I liked, bring in and make my own web browser. Make the
Yeah, you can browser. Make it. You can make it completely secure, so it accepts no cookies. It accepts none of that junk that automatically declines anybody trying to give you notifications on, all that stuff that you could turn on and make it a low key wall branded secure web browser and just put it out there. I think people would take off.
Probably. Or just grab it and call it trash and trash us, which I'll take that too. Because, I take constructive criticism and feedback to make the browser more secure, but just to criticize, nah, keep that to yourself. But
constructive criticism is different than being an asshole.
Heck yeah. That's why I like pentests. Everyone's like, oh no, we're getting pentests. It's like, oh, this is awesome. Someone's going to give me notes on how to fix my crap.
Nice.
Hey, this is broken right here. Oh, thank you. Thanks, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, so 8th Mobile Suit Team takes a small. So basically, they took these Gundam teams and they
made. Were you about to open something? I thought you were going to open something on the
show
screen.
Some on screen.
Yeah. He was like, oh, let me see, make sure my browser doesn't break.
I did not make slides for this time. Sorry. I did not make slides.
I did not make slides.
I thought about making slides, and every time I sat down to make slides, I don't know. I felt like I got too book reporty, and even when you have the slides, the visuals, I don't know if anyone really looked at them or got anything from them, but it really did. I think the only good thing about my slides last time was the Minkowski particle formula, and while it made Reinhold's brain hurt.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. He was like, what the fuck? What is this? What is this? Helium 3. It's great. It's awesome.
It works, man.
So 8th Mobile Suit Team takes the gives you introduced to different and new characters, and then puts them in the jungle. So you have it's basically Gundam Vietnam. So they're hiding in the trees. They're taking these fantastical mechanical suits to the jungle, which to me, the Minkowski particles are there, so you can't see everything on radar, or the heat signatures is over the place because everything's jammed and locked up. I think it was really interesting because a lot of the team that you're introduced to, like Shiro and Karen, a lot of these people, they get a captain from a space noid. He's on Earth. He's a young captain. You have this gritty team with a new captain who's got this is his first time at command, and he's kind of green at it. But he's given like some of these best weapons, and he's going out, out there to fight the forces of Zeon, which I to me, that really stuck out to me was like all this new technology that they had while they were still relying on like a lot of time, most of the time, either got their butts kicked or relied on older technology, like old radio technology or listening technology. Like, how can you find the freaking, like, these massive mobiles just moving in the forest, freaking dug a hole and took like, just took vibrations from the ground. These things are heavy and they move. And if they're moving, we can hear the vibrations and we know exactly where the heck these suckers are. Which, you know, it's, which their comm guy, the guys who would like come over that, they had a musician, you know. It's, yeah, like I said, it's a mobile suit team. The thing that got to me, like, it's the scene from Mobile Suit Gundam. How can I put it? And it had one of the, it sets up what, how can I put it? Like, I didn't watch like this in order. I never watched Gundam in order of release. My first introduction to Gundam was Gundam Wing, and I really liked it, and I liked the space opera, the storytelling part of it. And when Toonami goes, we've got another Gundam series, I was like, oh, okay, this seems a little more grittier, and it was. They had a lot more deaths, they had people getting wounded.
The true statement of Gundam. Murder porn, the anime.
They even have a love interest, so not just too many. Get the first one. Should put the spoiler banner up. All right, so In it, they have two different officers. So Shiro, right, falls in love with, while they're out on like excursions away from their city, he falls in love with this girl, which turns out to be the daughter of high ranking members of the Zeon Mobile Suit. As they go ahead and they're building this new, they're basically doing R&D on which becomes like the terror of all the Universal Century, of because the Gundams were seen as supposed to be seen in the Universal Century as these big hero things. Well, Zeon is working on a device, and this thing is always been marketed as a villain, and it's one of Nice's favorite things in Mobile Suit is the mobile armor, which is basically a massive, think of a destroyer that's mobile and it flies and it has the power to destroy cities. It's goofy, it's massive, it's huge, and this thing is, and she is working on the R&D on it. Her brother's making it, he's freaking developing it, and she's its pilot. She pilots this thing, and these two find each other through all this, and they end up, and this, they kind of weave this love story and this will they won't they through this whole thing, as, but they're also like will they won't they, but they're also two different sides, the conflict of the Zeon troop and the Earth Federation forces, which is
the Capulets and the Montagues. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, basically, yeah, yeah. Which is like, which is neat, because they played with us through, like, I bring this up, a lot of the different, like, Universal Century stuff is that they, the idea of the two sides meeting and not combat. I think Mobile Suit Gundam did this as well when Armoro decides to, like, abandon the military. It was basically desert for a while, and he ends up meeting, you know, like, several different people of the enemy forces, and it's a theme, you know, of two different, like, enemies facing each other, but they're not in active combat, and they're almost this romanticized of being respectable to each other, of, like, respecting each other's ranks, going with each other, and helping each other out. I think one time, like, Armoro was stuck. He was stuck, and Char helped him out. Like, here, you should have to change your tire. You're out in the mud. Get out of here. You know, get out of here, kid. You know. Did Armoro at that time, did Char at that time know this is Armoro, the guy who's been fighting the Gundam? No, he didn't know. But Armoro knew this was Char. Knew exactly who this was. But in this one, they really did. They kind of knew they were. The one was a Fetty, and the other was a Zeon person in this love. And they really did love each other. And it was, and this thing was building on. And it came up, and it culminated up to one of the best fight scenes in Mobile Suit Gundam, period. Hands down, there is nothing better. It is the innate Mobile Suit team. Most people know it as, we would see like this. This blue suit appears. It's called a goof, right? So it looks like a Zaku. It's not a Zaku. It moves differently.
What did you say it was called?
A goof.
A goof?
Goof.
G-O-O-U-F.
Goof.
Okay.
Goof.
Remember, you're saying words that don't mean anything to us right now.
What?
He's like there's this thing called a golf.
He's been, okay, he's been doing that since he started.
I know. What is that? I'm like, that was this close. All right, Harry, I need you to define all your terms.
I did define my terms.
He's like, as a golfer, it's a zaku. Okay, what's a zaku? It's like, well.
Zaku is a Zeon mobile suit. It's different. Like, it usually, a lot of the things in the Zeon suit, because you usually have that Cyclops eye that moves around, while the most of the gyms and the Gundams have like the fixed eyes that sit at the front and the head turns. You know? So, like, it's a good distinction on like the two different styles of mobile suit, the ways they are made. Now, granted, Zeon did make some with fixed eyes, but I don't think the Federation ever made a Cyclops model. Which is the Cyclops model is mostly the camera that the mobile suits because you're locked inside the freaking tank, right? So mm-hmm. How do you see out? Well, they have cameras. There's cameras on the outside. And sensors, so they can see different things, which comes in play because in that fight between the Ace Mobile Suit Team Gundams and the Goof, one of the because it was an old salty dog, like this really old captain, and he is the father figure, right, of Ayn, the girl that she, you know, fell in love with. This he's you know, been talking to her the entire time about this guy that she fell in love with, and he's a Fetty, right? But you know, and they meet around the end, right? And these two end up meeting, and it's like, so this is the Fetty soldier that you have fallen in love with, and basically starts fighting him. And it's like, wow, this guy is a respectable guy. I respect him, but he's got a job to do. He's still getting his job done. And even with the camera things, it was even showing that he was able to get around the Gundam because of its superior camera system. Its sensors was its downfall, because it was able to trick its cameras, move behind it, and then actually short circuit the Gundam and turning it off. So it's frisky, blowing a fuse. And it's one of the I remember watching it as a kid, just because like the empathy, the emotion, that scene where this powerful, unstoppable Gundam turns off. He's off, his cameras are off, fuses are popping all through the cockpit, and he's just stuck there, right? So an enemy's in front of him, and his Gundam shuts off, and he's stuck. And they've got this scene where he hears gunfire going off, and he's just sitting in there, right? Screaming about, just finish me off, just kill me, right? I don't want to die like this. And then, because he keeps hearing gunfire go off, and he's just waiting to die. Because he's expecting to get ready to happen. He's just going to shoot the cockpit, you know, kill the guy. On the outside, his team has finally caught back up to him, and the enemy Goff is using him as a human shield, because he's trying to buy time, because the Earth Federation forces at the time are sending up gun tanks around to shoot the R&D ship that I was talking about, the mobile armor, out of the sky. So just because we can't do anything, because it's not finished yet. And that's what their plan is, to shoot this thing out of the sky. So the Goff is there to take out the gun tanks. Like I said, it is an amazing video. It's on YouTube. Go ahead and watch it. Give it a watch. It is... Eighth Movie Studio Team is a very short series. You can easily finish it in a weekend. I recommend it. Like I said, it is... I kind of put it really did touch me. The emotions in that scene there, and the scenes that follow it, when that captain basically, after that scene, it helped him confirm that he did want to live through all this. He wanted to make it through this war, and he wanted to marry Ayn. He wanted out, and he didn't want nothing to do with the war. And spoiler alert, he does end up getting with her, because at the end final battle at Jarbaro, he finds her during the fight, and they desert in the middle of the combat. They just leave. They just effing leave, and they actually had to do like a prologue special of like the military trying to hunt him down. Why, you know, the heck this deserter's at? Yeah. give it a watch. Yeah, and that's my quick non-book report rundown of Faith Mobile 13 and why you should give it a watch. I kind of want to show this video, which I probably do it at the end, just in case, like, I don't want to, like, get zapped by, like, showing this thing, but I will probably play this fight scene at the end.
I wouldn't. It's amazing. I'm doing it. If I were you, I would suggest putting the link in the Discord.
I'll put the link in the Discord, but I'm definitely going to play a quick clip of it. You got to watch this scene. Anyway, all right. And then I leave the floor to you, Reinhold. But he's probably
on. Are we going to me? Next?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sending you a link real quick, so if you could just pull that up.
You could share your screen and just do it yourself, or you need me to do it?
I didn't know how it would work. I didn't want to mess with it. I know you can do it. So.
No. You share your screen, and then you just tell me, and I can
convert everybody over to the third and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or does it just do full screen? I don't know if it kept the camera.
It depends on how you want to do it. I have options here, but it can do that third part. How do you want it?
Just if you could show it, I put it in private chat. So. It's not a big. It's just a picture.
Making me do
it's not a thing. Video or anything like that.
Look at him. Oh, I am not the producer, sir. Making me do stuff. All right. Let's see. Got to share the screen now. Share screen. I'll share the screen. I should. Let's see. Looks like it opened it up in my browser. Hold on. Let me. Actually, well, you sent me a link. Of course, it's going to open my browser. You didn't send me like an image, but let's see if I can enhance. It's a lot of books there, Reinhold. Did you?
Read it's all a these? Few.
Did you read all these?
I have read all but two or three of them. I haven't got to yet.
Okay.
And I have, I think, all of them sitting on a bookshelf somewhere. I used to actually go into old bookstores, use bookstores just to find old hardback copies of the books because I'd read most of them as paperbacks when I was younger. So just to give you an idea, Terry Pratchett is a prolific writer over the years. How I found him was I had read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And at the time, there was only Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There wasn't any sequels. And I loved the book. And I was like, okay, I need to find more of this. I was part of something, you know, like you remember the old Columbia Club where you would, you know, give $1 and you get or a penny and you get like 12 CDs or 12 cassettes at the time, I guess it was. They had something like that for books where you could have a science fiction book of the month club is what it was called. And I was reading Isaac Asimov and Douglas Adams. I got involved in him. So I was looking for the next thing I wanted to read, and it came up with, here's Terry Pratchett. He's the Douglas Adams of fantasy. And I'm like, well, okay. That's a bold statement right there, right? So that's some bold. So I got the second book in the series because that had just come out. I realized it was a sequel to the first book. So it was Life Fantastic was what I got, and it was a sequel to The Color of Magic. And I was starting to read it and was laughing hysterically. So I stopped, got the first book, read it all the way through to the second book, all of it. And it's those two books are about a character called Rincewind, who is a magician. In this, so just to give you a background on the world he's created, this world is a flat Earth world that rides on the back of four elephants, and those four elephants stand on top of the great Atuan, which is a space turtle.
Okay.
And the space turtle just flies through space. Mm-hmm. Now, this is pulled from some religions and around the world have this kind of belief system. So it's really cool because it's a flat Earth type of world, which is really neat. It's different things on that, and it's full of magic's everywhere, and they've got all kinds of different things, and basically anything that's ever been in fantasy or even outside of fantasy shows up in these books. Vampires and ogres and golems and all that said. So one of the things is that they have these people called wizards who try to harness and do stuff with the magic, but they're all completely incompetent. And it's fun to see them fuzzle and futz around. And like, there's a character called the librarian where the wizards kind of study at this unseen university is what it's called. And there's a librarian there who is an orangutan.
Okay.
He was a human. And then because all the magical books, they seep the magic out.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they turned it. He got turned into an orangutan through one of these magic books. And he refuses to let anybody turn him back. Because he's happier as an orangutan and he can do his job better because he can swing around upon the shelves and get all the books he needs. So
he refuses to let him. Makes sense.
And he just says, "Ook, oh, okay," is all he ever says. It's kind of hilarious. But he comes into play a little bit more in the which one is it? The first one on the second line called Moving Pictures. I want to give you an example from Moving Pictures. This is going to be a bit of a spoiler. If you want to throw the spoiler bag up there, but this is an example from one of those books. How he sets up things, like he does satire and comedy so very well throughout his books that you don't see it coming. Even though you know it's coming, you know he's going to have something funny about every little thing. It's always unexpected and always surprising for the most part. Like an example, Moving Pictures is about how they discovered that they could take the pictures and make a movie out of it. Right. And this comes from there's a seeping of evil in the desert around a place called Holy World, Hollywood. If you can see where he's going with that one. and makes this whole industry pops up in the desert out of nothing to make these movies. And it turns into this big evil that goes and destroy, you know, is threatening to destroy everything. At one point near the end of it, they have these characters up on this large screen and the characters start to come off the screen and start walking around. So you get this big, huge character. It's a woman. Okay, the specific character, this huge woman, and she's walking around stomping on things and destroying stuff, and the wizards are trying to stop her, and they're flying on brooms, so they're flying around her with brooms and shooting, you know, lightning bolts at her to try and get her to try to kill her. Meanwhile, she picks up the librarian and starts climbing up a building with it.
King Kong, gotcha.
So he sets it up for like half of the book. And then you see it just, he got me. He got me on that one. It was such a great setup.
That's freaking awesome. That's awesome. This guy
is the inversion of King Kong. That makes sense.
So he wrote, he did write a book with Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. Him and Neil Gaiman were great friends. They loved each other. They spent all the time talking to each other and everything. They actually wrote a book together. It was called Good Omens. You might have seen it on Amazon recently. That was him and Neil Gaiman writing that. The second one's coming out. They had planned to write a sequel. They had all of it kind of half written and kind of noted out, but they never got to do it. So he's taken a lot of that information and trying to make a sequel, the new season out of it. So it's really honoring that he wanted to do it because Terry Pratchett passed away, unfortunately, from Alzheimer's. And it was just amazing. He was still writing after he got diagnosed. And he just worked as hard as he could to get as much out. So he got knighted once. Well, you'll get knighted once, right? He got knighted, and he had time. You know, they announced that you're going to be knighted, and you have time to do it. In between that time, he wanted to have the sword that he was knighted with. He wanted to make it. So he went into his estate, dug up iron, went and got some meteorite, forged the metal to make the sword from the meteorite and iron, and then had a blacksmith do the, you know, final mock-up, make it look good.
Yeah.
And he used that sword for his knighting.
Nice.
He was a really cool guy. is actually a funny thing is he had a he did an interview with Bill Gates back in 1995. Mm-hmm. Right. And Pratchett was talking to him and he expressed concern about the potential spread of misinformation online. Mm-hmm. He felt that there was a kind of parody of esteem of information on the internet. And basically you would, he gave an example of Holocaust denial being presented on the same terms as peer reviewed research. They both have the same weight. And he was afraid that because of this, all this misinformation would prop up when we get onto an online community. Mm-hmm. And Bill Gates disagreed and said, no, what's going to happen is you're going to have, online authorities and fact checkers are going to make sure that all of that's taken care of. Mm-hmm. Right now, this was 1995. He saw what was coming. He was not, he was a very brilliant man. And as I said before, he had like, what was it? He had 15 novels in the top 200 on a BBC poll that they did, best for the best loved novels. So that's pretty good. He's got so many great lines. I mean, it's hard. You can go and look at his quotes. Just look at his quotes page on Goodreads. Mm-hmm. And it's like pages and pages and pages and pages. It's just quotes from his books. Here's an example one from a book called Jingo. The intelligence of the creature known as a crowd is the square root of the number of people in it.
Yeah. Accurate.
Does that make sense?
Mob mentality. People, once the bigger the group, the dumber the group is.
Yeah, the intelligence drops. It square roots down based mm-hmm. off the number, right? So
yeah.
It's the inverse. Whatever. So anyway, it's the stuff that they do here. I could go on more with quotes. I don't know if I want to keep doing that, but there's a really funny one. So one of his characters that he has, so he has like different sets of characters. So the book can be either about the wizards or it can be about the witches. There's a whole witches thing that goes on. There's a series of books about the Night Watch, mm-hmm. which is basically a policing type of thing where he creates this character called Sam Vimes, who is like the proto what cops should be, not what they are. And there's one of the things he did was he made a quote where they were talking about how you have to go kill the guy that killed the criminal. And he's like, I'm supposed to be keeping the peace. If I can't find a way to do that without killing people, then I'm part of the problem. Oof. And it's like, well, you know, that's
oof.
Pretty accurate. And he also had a economic theory that is now coming to pass. Like they're actually calling this thing the Sam Vimes economic theory from this book for Terry Pratchett, where it's how poor people end up paying more for stuff than rich people do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And his example was he gets he walks a beat as a cop and he has to buy new boots. Mm-hmm. Now, as a poor person, he would spend $10 on a pair of boots. A rich person would spend $50 on a pair of boots. Those $10 pair of boots would wear out so fast that it had to buy another $10 mm-hmm. pair of boots and then another one. Meanwhile, the rich person has the same pair because they're made well.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor person ends up paying more for the same period of time on boots than the rich person does because he's able to buy better. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that whole economic theory now is starting to, in the last year, be talked about. You can go look it up. It's Sam Vimes' economic theory. It's literally named after it.
Yeah. So I've heard of this theory, and I just didn't know that's where it came from.
Cause right.
I've sprouted it off a couple of times to people because like I watch people buy like the cheapest tires or used tires, and I'm like, no. No, you don't want those tires. You know, they make tires that go for miles. You know, if you're not racing, you should probably get those tires.
You want quality.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he invented that, but he put it into a way for people to understand, right, from the books. And his books are full of stuff. Like one of the great things he does in his books is he uses footnotes a lot, where he'll be telling a story, and then he'll have a star. And then you go look at the footnote at the bottom, Mm-hmm. And it's one of the funniest jokes, and it can usually take you on a whole, like, you know how we get sidetracked on things because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. we start laughing about stuff and we have to get back to the story. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing with these footnotes. He'll say something and he'll go off on, well, back in the day when this happened, this was you, but this, and then he's telling a joke in there. And then you go back and pick up the story again. He does it so well. Another one of his great characters in the books is the character of Death. Death is in every single book. And you can tell that it's him talking because he uses all capital letters for anything he says. It's all caps. Death's character is one of the funniest, without trying to be funny, characters. It's one of the best personifications of death that exist in literature today. A lot of times you'll see people making a death comic or something about the Grim Reaper doing this or Grim Reaper doing that. It's coming from this, his kind of vision of what death was. And you really get to see a lot. There's a book called Mort. It's the fourth book right there.
Okay.
That's the first book focused on the character Death, where Death goes out and he decides he wants to take a break and retire. So he goes to get an apprentice, and his apprentice name is Mort, which is, of course, is French for death. But so he ends up putting him in place and goes and retires, where he's working as a line chef. Mm-hmm. At this restaurant, and he loves cats. That's just kind of his whole mentality, right? So, but it's, he's not making like ha ha funny overt jokes. All of his jokes are very like esoteric and thoughtful, where you just go, oh, like there's a great example where he's taking over for a character called the Hogfather, which is Discworld's version of Santa Claus. And mm-hmm. he's gone missing. Somebody has taken him and has holding him. And so he's pretending to be basically Santa Claus, but he's still like a skull underneath and everything like that. And he's still talking in that intonation. It's really cool. And he ends up giving a sword to this little girl. And the parents are like, you can't give a sword to a girl. It's dangerous. He says, it's a lesson in life. He says, well, what happens if she stabs herself? Well, so she's learned a very important lesson. it's that type of, you know, he's not making a joke, but it's a funny joke, right? So his death is just amazing. I love every time he pops up in these books, he'll like somebody will die and you see the capital letters and you're just like, yes, all right. There he is.
Can I just say, like, the one thing I like about like Reinhold stuff is like, you see every time Reinhold brings something else up, he brings up like some like, he brings up the artist stuff, that the entertainment stuff that we usually watch, what they get their inspiration from or they read as a kid or something like that, and they made art afterwards. Because like this whole trip of the kid with the sword, I've seen this photo and I have no idea where it came from. Well, like this artist rendition of this, right. It's like what's going on here? I don't understand where this is coming from. This is amazing, but you know, okay, all right,
good.
Man, look at Reinhold trying to get everybody in Discworld. I have added
Here's another quote real quick. Getting an education was a bit like a communicable sexual disease. It made you unsuitable for a lot of jobs, and then you had the urge to pass it on.
Sounds like Reinhold.
It's just full of such great literary twists, and it gets you in the commentary on society that these books have, because it's taking place in an alternate reality. He can kind of take things that are happening mm-hmm. and do social commentary on it in a way that makes you think about it. That's why I loved about the books was that, and the way he wrote was that it opened up your mind to thoughts that you wouldn't have experienced or known about unless you had been through it. And does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. It's just it's one of the best. I think he's one of the best people who has ever done social commentary. Let's put it that way, in a comedy, fantasy, satire sort of way. Like, there's another quote where he says something about, if you were to, the way humans work, if you were to put a button in a locked or in a cave somewhere, a remote cave that nobody ever goes to, and it says, do not press, this button destroys the world. The paint on that sign would not have a chance to dry before that button would be pushed.
Right? This is a
way to kind of show humanity in a way that you can kind of go, oh yeah, I see that now. You see these things starting to happen, and it really opens up your mind, and you start seeing. And some people may call that woke, because you're awake to what's going on around you. You see the way things kind of work together and how society functions. But I think it's a good thing to be able to recognize and see what's going on.
You see the strings that pull, you see the strings.
Now, I do recommend, so the first two books in the series are not the strongest two books.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite characters, and it got me into this thing, but he was still trying to figure out his writing style. So the first two books are a little, so at Equal Rights. So what happened with me was I read the first two books and I saw that there was a new book in the store called Equal Rights. I opened it up and it wasn't about the characters that I had read in the first two. It was about new characters. And it was about female, it was about witches and equal rights and stuff like that. And you're like, okay. And I put it down. I said, nah, I'm not dumb. I'm going to do that. Then a couple years later, I'm in a bookstore and I see like there's six books out there. I'm like, oh, he's continued writing, right? So I started reading them, and I read Morden. That kind of hooked me completely. Like, I'm not ever missing another one. So I would start kind of in there, or there's a whole there's actually a website you can go to. I can't remember what it is now. I can maybe get it in the show notes or something, but if you search for it, you'll find it. But it's a how best to read Discworld, and they like, if you like this type of story, then read all of these, all the witches books. And here's the order that you read them in. If you like these cop things, you know, you can do all of the police, the guards ones, and the Night Watch stories. And then there's one-offs and things like that. His take on religion, there's a book called Small Gods. His take on religion is basically that the God is as powerful as the number of followers he has. So this one God comes back, and his church is the biggest church on the disc. Right, he's followers, and there's deacons and priests and everything else. But he comes back and he's a tiny little tortoise. And when he smites somebody, it's like basically static electricity. It's what they feel. And what's happened is that people have started to worship the church and not the God. And it's such a great story outlining all of the ins and outs of organized religion. That one book is just amazing. So he takes on all these topics, and he does them in such a way that it's just incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's the benefit of having a person who's writing in a world, but not one long narrative in the world. Because if you like the world and then you don't like this certain character, then you have a bunch of other options to pick of different characters you'd like more.
Yeah, and then the world stays the same. So the world, you end up seeing characters from different stories. You'll see them pop through. And like, Rincewind was one when I got started in the books. I was reading him. And every once in a while, they do a wizard story, and he'll show up and be in there for 5 minutes or something, a few lines. And you're just like, yes, so cool.
Makes the world
there's a lot of stuff like that. It's one world.
Right.
So all the stories that take place, different characters, you're not tied to a specific, like, you're not reaching Jack Reacher, where all the Jack Reacher books are about Jack Reacher. This is about the world and all the characters that play within it.
Okay.
It's a very lived-in experience where anybody can show up at any time because they all exist.
I like it. I like it. So we noticed this thing like how to get the Discworld. I'm probably going to I've put it down, at least the first book on my audiobook list, so it'll come up in my feed eventually. Going through audiobooks. Is it recommended listening to an audiobook, or should I get pen or should I get paper?
Audiobooks are fine. I like the pen and I normally love audiobooks for everything. because it's just the way I read. I'm doing so many other things, and with ADHD, it's just easier to have it going while I'm doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like getting focus bored. But the problem is with his books and the footnotes jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to kind of do those on audio. Mm-hmm. I think the jokes come across better in the written form. Okay, for those jokes. But the stories themselves are fine to listen to as audiobooks.
All right, that's fine.
Okay. I've got a couple myself.
So like doing like the follow-alongs, like have it in front of you at some points, but also like reading it, because I have to do that with the physics books I'm reading, because mm-hmm. a lot of them will reference like a diagram, or like, and this is how ice has heat. And I'm like, what? Hold on, let me get that. Open the book up, look at it, look at this diagram. I'm like, what? This is insane. It's hot ice. It's hot ice. But it's because what ice is, you know, it's just because our anyways, I don't want to get
to the it's still warmer than Kelvin zero, you know, it's still got some heat going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, it's you said something too about when I did Harry Chapin, you said you'd been listening to a couple of his songs. I didn't know mm-hmm. if you had really liked him and gotten into him, or if you were just like, I'll try him out.
No, I've gotten into him. Like I've listened to him, you know, and it's easy for, cause like sometimes I want something else to listen to besides like the same five songs. Like,
it's fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I can get you into some Terry Pratchett. That'll be good.
Oh yeah. 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 That'll be good. That'll be good.
He's got a book called Soul Music that's about, you know, basically the music genre, and there's so many jokes in there. If you're into music and rock music and things like mm-hmm. that, popular music, mm-hmm. oh man, so many jokes. Where he's talking about something and he references like Buddy Holly in a certain way with a name mm-hmm. that is not exactly that, but you can tell what he's saying, what he's doing. It's just awesome.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Hey, you definitely got me to put it on my list. I need more books on my list that are more entertainment value versus the, you know, like.
This is one of the few books where I've read him and Douglas Adams are probably the only two people I've ever read where I have laughed out loud multiple times in the same book. Just constant laughing while you're reading. It's a fun thing to do.
Love Douglas Adams books, especially some of the Douglas Adams. Have you ever played any of the old school like Douglas Adams video games around the PC?
I did the the MUD version, you know, the do your own adventure type thing. It was all text based. I did that one, and then there was actually a Discworld book came out.
Here it goes.
With Eric Idle playing the character.
Oh wow, the website's still up.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, you can play Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the text based game. You can still play it.
Starship Titanic.
Oh, Titanic. Oh, Starship Titanic is such a good book. Oh yeah, I read that one. That
was it's good. Still up. The site's still up. Look at this thing. Who's maintaining?
Well, you know what's funny? Well, okay, really another thing. Just to get while I'm getting into it, there was a multi-user dungeon MUD mm-hmm. created back in the 90s for Discworld. It was called Discworld, right? Okay. I worked on it for years, became one of the writers, then became a what's called a lord, where I mm-hmm. ran writing groups and things like that and made decisions, and some of my text is there. That game still exists and is played today. It is still up and running. And when Terry Pratchett was asked about it, he mm-hmm. would say he's never heard of it, but then winkingly, like he knew it existed, but he couldn't admit that he knew it existed because technically it was violating copyright.
Right.
But he, you know, was a fan. So, mm-hmm. but no, that MUD has been running and it's been in the top 50 MUDs or whatever in the whole time. And it's still going and people are still playing it. You log in now, there's like 40 people playing it right now.
I just can't believe this thing is still up. Who is maintaining this thing?
I mean, people, man.
Well, they're to maintain. It still runs. So it's that's static. True.
Yeah, it's just HTML code, yeah.
Somebody's just paying for the hosting. That's all they're doing.
And it's looking this. All right, so many people are like, why is the site doing this? Well, this is, you know, back in the day, 640 by 480, but I'm on a 2K screen, so it's going to go whoop. pixels, which is also strange because, like, this is probably the pixels of my first monitor is right here. This was full screen.
Woo!
Yeah, that's what I was thinking here. But, you know, that's, I'm just, I'm amazed. Yeah. Let's get the chat here. The forum is, man. Really cool.
Okay. All right. If you go to,
what, you want to go to the,
yeah, go to Discworld Mud. Space Mud. Yep.
Oh, the Star Turtle? Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, look at that.
Mm-hmm. No, you can find, if you do a search for Reinhold, you'll find me in there, because I used to do a lot of political writing arguments on there. Back in the old boards that they have, so.
Reinhold, dude. Internet arguments? Never.
That's not like him at all. What are you talking about?
Let's see, where's the search?
That's completely out of character.
You can click on and you can log in and the Telnet client, and it'll start. You'll start playing. But it's like those text based games back to Zork and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and those sorts of things.
So like text based adventures.
They got a browser client. Let's go. Oh, look at that work. Yeah.
I remember that screen so well. Oh,
my God. Just all you right here, man. Pay for 100 years in advance. Ah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At that time, that was $7.
I don't think it says. There should be somewhere where it says how many people are online, but.
Probably if the downloaded version probably does. Oh man.
Let me get I know it does I log in as a with admin credentials, so it tells me. I don't know if it's just not telling. Oh. It doesn't tell people.
Oh, sorry. You got admin credentials.
I can't give you my credentials. That's too much power. Although I think they scaled me back a little bit since I haven't been on for about 3 years. I think the last time I logged in was when Terry Pratchett passed away. I logged into the Mud, and it was a sad day. I mean, it still hit me so hard, and it's hard to imagine. Still, even just talking about it now, it makes me want to well up. But he was such a big deal in my life for so many years, especially because of this Mud that I was doing. I did this for like 5 years. It was emotional. A lot of people.
They need to redirect to HTTPS only, though. I'll tell you that. No. But, you know, that's what are you going to do?
It's a text-based game. I don't think it's. They're going to hack it.
You don't know. You never know.
They've been mining.
They ended up forking and using their own Mud lib, Mud library. So it's called Fluffy OS now.
I think we may have to do an episode on MUDs, because I'm sure you keep saying this and people are probably driving in the car going, what the heck's a MUD?
What's a multi-user dungeon? That's what it stands for.
These MUDs is probably have. I remember hanging out with a good friend who will remain nameless. He worked at a computer lab at a certain college campus I went to, and he spent most of the day on MUDs. All day. Not gonna lie, I was a little jealous.
Man, I used to have one, and I'd be at work, and I'd have it up in the, you know, in a window, and I'd just go every once in a while. I'd just go back and do something or say something. It's just like it was the old chat room that I, you know, before we have chats now. So
yeah,
that's like in the 90s.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'd really get ticked off about. Like someone like Spangle a lot of the time is that like they only like chatting in platforms. They're like, listen, like we can boot up our own chat room and talk with each other, literally talk, and have to go to like these things, but they're so that convenience. This is what they stole from you. This is what Facebook stole from you, people. This is what they stole from you. This stuff here, these different worlds, you know, this is what they stole. This
segmentation,
creativity, and interest like that.
Right, you know, and this is what Metaverse is going to do to people. Like, people are like, oh, Metaverse is going to be like this. Some of the stuff that already exists. Go to VR chat. Go boot up VR chat. Beat up other. There's other things up there other than VR chat. Also, Towers Unite that you've seen us stream on this channel before. There are tons of people doing things out there in that space that's not centralized and under all these control sets that allows other things to come into it where Metaverse claims they're going to do that, but just like they did to Facebook, the moment you're in and this is where you're hooked, they're going to open up the walled garden and then you're stuck. Keep you stuck there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like so many people, a generation of you guys have no idea how to boot up, host, or boot up an HTML website. So you're stuck. So you go, I'm going to start a business website. So you buy a domain and you make a Facebook page. I'm always sad every time I see this, it's like, cool, this cool restaurant, let me go to their website. And it directs me to a Facebook page. And I'm just like, what the? Sometimes I feel like approaching the business owner, like, do you want me to make you a page?
I can do it for you. I can do it.
Real quick. I don't want anything other than you to maintain the page and update the fucker with the menu. All I want. F I want.
Yeah, if they just want a menu, Facebook's good enough for that, though.
No.
That's the point.
You know, and also, stop the QR scanning. Oh, my God. Someone was like, why do you get two phones? Like, because like some restaurants will give me a menu and they make me scan a QR code for it. So I use my non-phone. What? No, scanning random QR
codes. I'm more confused on what places you go when they don't give you a menu and you have to use the QR code to get the menu.
It's a thing now. It's a thing. It's happening in cities. In large cities, they're doing that, yeah.
It's a freaking thing. Go downtown to Indianapolis.
All these
places scan this QR code. Like, you want me to just scan? So, like, it lets me think of, like, I could probably just show up at a restaurant, remove the little QR code off the table, add my own, and I just start infecting boxes. Cool. I got that phone. I've got that phone now. And I'm like, I have an iPhone.
So it doesn't
matter.
Just have a link to automatically follow you on Twitter. All right. Cool. Right. Now I've got all these followers.
Think of this, what you can do if you make people do this thing, you know, or just take their meta information, like just to take information from people, you know, or track them, or get likes, get follows, get all the stuff like that. There's so much of this.
You can have it redirect to that, and then redirect them back to the menu, so they don't even know. They'll see the menu, but it'll pop up and do all the stuff in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's easy to do, just different, you know, different Windows codes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or just, all right. So like the Chrome or different like web browser, even like Safari does this, like the autofill forms, like if you've got autofill, you can tell your site to like autofill things for you, like it just adds it. So like that hidden autofill form. Anyways. It's next week's episode of the Chris Spangle Show. Reinhold and I will, because I got to get with Reinhold, you know, as we plan this out. Do not freak everybody out, but to tell them what the heck can happen to you, and also give you things so you don't do this stuff. So.
Well, and Chris said something about, you know, we want to warn people because this may be coming down the pike. I'm like, dude, it's already happening. We're getting so many different hack attacks at work and things like that. You have no idea. It's increased in level.
Mm-hmm.
Something going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my WAF with the dashboard, the scary dashboard that they give you so you could go to the C-level employees, right? Which mine was, it would say like, you know, up 80%, but this last month, it gave me like a 600% up on attacks. I was just like, I can't shoot this to my C-level employee. But then it's like, I kind of do. So to make sure they increase the spending. I'm like,
right, so they know.
We're being serious here.
I
look at these numbers.
May need more.
Is it the Pew Pew one? Is it the Pew Pew site where they do like the, you know, they show the attacks from the source to the target, like lines, like ICBM missiles?
No, it doesn't.
I love that site. I love that one.
Yeah, this is where you're getting like, mine's a, yeah, this one's pretty neat. It's more of just shows like, this is where they're coming from. And then like, and I set up to like, I just geocode block, right? Or just block IP, like drop the request and block the IP. Drop the request and block the IP. You know, just drop it, block it. Block. It's just, you know, just amazed of how like this little site that does basically nothing just keeps getting tacked. You know.
And don't worry, Escalja. It's okay. We're just delaying the inevitable me bringing the entire mood down on mine.
Should I go get cake? Should I go get cake?
The cake's a lie, man.
All right, so now we get to go to the part of the thing where I will tell everyone to lock up your sharp object because Vince is getting ready to talk.
Oh my god. Is Vince getting ready to talk? Not again. Okay, did that work? Cool, it didn't. There you go, Eric.
Right, so you're. Alright.
So. This one for me is I'm going to preference this, but this is going to be really depressing because we're going into my psyche of high school Donovan, which is not the best place ever. so I'm going to talk about this manga. This is a manga, which is GE Good Ending. This is the only one on the list that's just a manga. It never got any anime adaptation or anything. The genre of this is very much high school romantic comedy drama, which, of course, it's inevitable that with how much more diverse compared to Harry's mine is, it was going to happen.
So mine is very diverse?
Sure. So, general summary, it's about the plot is about this guy here in the middle, Isumi. He is basically like a lonely schlub guy who is in love with this girl Hiroshio, who is the captain of the tennis team. When Yuki over here sees him do that, she decides that she's going to help Isumi get to know Sho and get them together by basically forcing him to be a better version than himself. Because a lot of it comes down to Isumi having his own issues with his own self-esteem and his own personal emotional state. So these three are like the most important characters of it. We'll get back to that part. The thing that really pulled me in. But the reason I really enjoyed this manga in particular is that it's not afraid to touch on like real life issues. Compared to a lot of the other light, fluffy romance, whatever, it's like, oh yeah, these characters are doing whatever. If I could rename it, it's a GE low self-esteem, because it feels like every single character in this entire thing have self-esteem issues of some sort. A good example is that this character here, Risa, she used to be a larger woman before she slimmed down and became more conventionally attractive. And because of that, she has a massive self-esteem issue where Isumi was the first guy who didn't care that she was heavyset before, didn't make fun of her. So she kind of latched on to him because he's the first person to show her actual kindness. And because of that, it's kind of massively affected her character where, there is a point later on where she does something that is very detrimental to herself because she felt dejected and that she couldn't have him. If you want to go ahead and put the spoiler on there for now, because I'm going to talk about a bunch of stuff that's plot relevant, but I know certain people, Scouter specifically, is never going to read this, so might as well spoil a bunch of stuff. But basically, there is a point where she comes to realize that he will never love Risa. So she just puts herself in a very dangerous position where there's like a shady guy who like brings her to a room to help her be a model and almost assaults her. Yeah. And another character happened to be in the vicinity to prevent that from happening. And then there's a massive underlying level of trauma because Yuki has this, there is a love interest that she has in the past that is an that constantly affects how she sees the world, to the point where she doesn't believe that romance is possible, because the guy that she was with convinced her to lose her virginity, and then recorded it and spread it to the school. So,
what age did you read this?
Like 13, 14. Trust me, we'll get to my own mind. When we get to my own headspace at the time, that's coming after that. That's when we start getting real depressing stuff.
Sorry, fight. Oh, so this is we have
gone. Oh, this is depressing. Yes, this is manga. This is depressing. When we talk about where my mental state was at the time, that's very depressing.
Okay,
there's also this underlying level of obsession where there's a lot of characters have massive obsessions with things, and it's to a detriment. I didn't show it here, but there's another character who is who's a pitcher. He's a baseball pitcher for the school, and he is obsessed with trying to be the best pitcher. And a play happens where he injures his shoulder, and they end up losing like the finals of the tournament. And he blames himself for them losing, and he becomes so focused on it's all his fault that if he hadn't messed up, they would have won. And his obsession with doing that really spirals him into a depression for a while. And that once his shoulder's recovered, he basically spends all this time, all of his free time, pitching by himself until the night, till the sun goes down, trying to be better and better and better. Because he's obsessed with this, like, I if I didn't get hurt, we could have won. I was better than what I said I was. And it isn't until another character basically shows him that, like, look, you did everything you could to make this work. And that at some point, it's not all on you. You have to understand that it's not all your fault. Everybody did their best, and sometimes you just come short. Where he actually kind of calmed down a bit on being on focusing solely on this training and basically burning himself out. So it actually covers a lot of like realistic, like actual tangible things that people would deal with in a matter that is much more similar to real life compared to a lot of the other like things that have shown up. For me, early on, there's this chapter, it's chapter 13 out of like 160 that really pulled me in. And it, the setup is that Usumi had finally asked the tennis captain Sho on a date. And then the morning of, she canceled. So he goes out, decides he's going to buy a tennis racket because he joined the tennis team. And when he's there, he sees her with another guy. And apparently, the night before, the person that she had a crush on before he graduated high school called her up, asked her out, and then she agreed. So it left Usumi in a state where he was just like, I don't know how to deal with this. So the only thing he says to her is congratulations, and then leaves. And as he's leaving, he calls Yuki, who's been helping him through this process of asking her out and working on dating her and stuff. And he calls her and basically has this conversation of like, yeah, I have this tennis racket. It's really cool. And Yuki's like, what's actually happening? Why are you here right now? And he goes, well, she canceled on me. And when I saw her there, I realized that she agreed to go out with somebody else. And I didn't want to pressure her into answering why she did it, because I can already tell that she was hurting because she realized that she hurt me. So I didn't pressure her to do it. But unlike, but I didn't tell her how I felt like I told you I would. Aren't I pathetic? And right? So he basically has this the breakdown of like, man, I should have just said something. It's really pathetic that I didn't. And Yuki is basically like, it's okay. You did the best you could. And then he just breaks down and is like, I really liked her. I really wanted to do this. And I really liked her. And it was very real. It was done in a manner that wasn't like played up for laughs. It wasn't played up to be over dramatic. It's more of this guy, this was his first love, the person that he felt that he might have actually had a chance to go out with, and it didn't work out. And how he had to deal with the fact that it didn't work out. And the reason that really connected with me is where I was personally at the time. Okay. In high school, high school was not the best for me. Going into high school, I had just got off of my parents' divorce. I also ended a relationship with the first girlfriend I ever had, which did not end amicably because of things that she did. I really didn't know anybody because I went to a new school where none of the people I previously went to the same school as me went to. And I was massively depressed. It was rough, and there are still plenty of times where I felt like I didn't really fit in, even when I had made friends. Because at one point, because the area we live in and the school I went to, I was, even though my family was mostly middle class, I was the poor kid because I had all the rich friends. I was the token poor kid, the token black kid, and the token fat kid, all in one. So for me, I was in like a very rocky emotional state. I had been dealing with it for a while, and slowly but surely it eased in points. But at the time, I was very much at a very low emotional point. And when I started reading this, especially when it's the best chapter, it hit me in a way where it was like, I didn't feel as alone.
Is it because you like had the story, or you feel like you weren't the only person like going through this? Right, other people feel this right, as well.
The second one. Okay. That feeling of feeling that you're a failure, you know? So for me, it clicked in a way that was very much allowed me to invest more because I felt like I knew where he was coming from. And by no means is this story the best story ever. But it is something for me that is inextricably connected to a point in my life where I was at a very low point. And one thing that happens in the plot, which I'm going to preface this by saying that this is something that does happen and it's a very, very sensitive thing, but there's a point where Usumi feels completely alone and he's staying with a friend and nobody knows where he is and he's basically gone off the grid and he hasn't eaten for days and is depressed and he doesn't feel like anything is worth it. And the friend goes, well, do you want to just try to end it? And he goes, what do you mean? They're like, don't worry about it. And they hang it up and give him a stool and he's like, here, try. And then he puts his head in it and he realizes he doesn't want to do it. And then the friend is basically like, yeah, I didn't think you would. And they basically talk about their own story of where, like, most of their family died in a car accident, and they're basically alone. And they had to make the best of the life that they were given. And it kind of really helped move him to a different mental place after that. So it's, again, when I say that it touches on, like, real issues, it really does. It goes through a lot of stuff that is very much serious and handled in a more serious manner. There are some things that are just kind of there. They're like more jokey. And of course, it's a romantic comedy at points. So there's a lot of the silly slapstick, lovey stuff. But when it gets serious, it handles serious topics in an extraordinarily focused manner. So for me, this is why this in particular had connected with me. So yeah, as stated, I was going to bring the whole mood down. And that's why I said I wanted to go last.
Well, now we got to bring it up a little bit before we sign off, or we'll have people go their whole day all depressed.
Right, exactly. It's totally get it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay? Did everyone make it on the other side?
Well. Somebody need to talk right now.
I told you that if we're doing this, we're going all out. So,
yeah. Yeah, stories sometimes find us in some different places that will, help us get through different moments. And it's, I'm glad that story helped you.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, Scalja. If there is a happy ending for a good ending for every character except for one. And they try to make it a good ending, but in context, it's a very terrible, terrible ending where they end up together with their stalker. So, right? Yeah, yeah. And they try to make it lighthearted. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Totally not doing anything sad next week. Moving it to a lighter topic next week or next time.
I mean, that's the danger. That's the danger I had last week with Harry, because Harry Chapin, because he does the same thing. He'll put those songs out there in a way that you relate to them in such a way where you like, okay, I'm not the only one. There are people who have it worse than I do. There are, everybody's going through this, not just me. And that gives people comfort in the times that they need it. So that's not always a happy thing.
Well, then.
Okay.
As stated, I was going to bring the whole mood down. All of it down. So what do you guys want to talk about next time?
I can do my list now. Have to go look. I think I had them in here. Hold on. Actually, yeah. Boom. Oh, crap. Backgrounds I need to do, not borders. Because if you change the yield backgrounds, like right. Okay, that didn't work. And work.
Not working. Nope. I can see it over on my other screen now.
But if it like I wish I could just show the background, but it won't let me just do backgrounds and pull people in. Like if I pull everybody out, your audio will stop, which sucks.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's just wait a minute. I think I got them all downloaded actually on the machine, because when I made slides last time. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Like, so do you want to see yours right now? Do you have yours?
I got it now. I saw it. I picked it up. Hold it up.
Okay. All right. Well, never mind then.
I have to decide if I want to go to like comedy or if I want to go back to a musician or music. So I think I'm going to go back to music for right now.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's comedy music, but it's fun. It's music.
So that's what you're going with, Bare Naked Ladies next time then?
Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. That's where we get this up and on a high note. We talk about Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, if we're doing
Bare Naked Ladies. Fine.
Cool. If we're doing that, then since I also got to get mine for do this show for Chris Spangle show next time, I think I will go for Ghost in the Shell. Let's do it. Yeah.
And then I will go with Steins Gate.
Ooh, this could be good. I don't know how Bare Naked Ladies matches for Steins Gate.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be perfect. I mean,
you never know. I'll make it work. I'll make a leap.
Yeah, Steins Gate and Ghost in the Shell work pretty well together, and then you got Bare Naked Ladies. We'll figure that out somewhere. We'll make it work.
We'll see. So I could put Stranger in Fiction in there instead, and I could probably mesh in better, but I don't know. I want to talk about Bare Naked Ladies. So.
That's fair. Paul, that is close to what the title is going to be. Close to what the title is going to be. I have to figure out if I want to put the Steins at the front or the Gate at the end.
Right. Now we got to the end of the show. Let's bring the mood up with some death.
Oh my god,
death. Which is weird because, like, I can do full screen on that. That's neat. Yeah, who doesn't like a? Well, like, thinking you guys like took the audio out. That's the goof. Okay. All right, look, he's got the scimitar, freaking Gatlin on his arm, got the hooks, this is a fucking goof. That's a goof. That's a goof in all its glory, all its epic glory. It's sitting there menacingly.
Menacingly.
Just menacingly, just there. Being a beast, actually here. Hold on.
That's true. That's fair. I agree. They would be called a goof troop, but they always stick together too. And copyright strike.
It's a few seconds of audio and video. We're fine.
On all platforms.
Well, we didn't get the audio on our side, so.
Yeah, it's a few seconds. It's fine. You know, the better said, it's a, you know, it's that, you know, it's like I said, it's a good fight. It's a good fight when you get to it, especially when you watch them fighting with each other, right? You know, the idea of they're squaring off of each other, sort of. So the guy on the left, that's the gun. I'm getting just tranced by this goof. Just getting bodied. Boom. Arms down. It's superior. It's like, I'm a superior machine. Just getting beat up just by the veteran. See? His camera's picked up on that, on the scimitar being tossed because it's that movement, you know? It's like, so the cameras looked that way and he went the other way. Leaped up in the air, got him. Got him. See, this is what I talk about with the just waiting for death. That's like I said, it's that like I said, the visuals of Gundam is just, you know. Yeah. So like I said, pick some Gundam up. Look good for you. So it's actually the I think Reinhold's like Reinhold's the happiest thing, the piece of media that produced it. You know, at least I brought Gundam up, and at least my murder porn's not the saddest thing here, right? Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, so we got what we're gonna talk about next week. hopefully you guys will get your do your homework and watch the Mace Mobile Suit Team. Just to be, it's a faster go through than the other two. Trust me.
And do your homework and watch the awesome Ghost in the Shell movie that was made with Scarlett Johansson.
No. You can watch.
Bad right just,
you can watch one scene. There's only one good scene in that whole movie. There's just one where Irumaki, you know, gets up. You know, they think they're going to kill Irumaki. That's the only good scene. Other than that, nah.
Because
Irumaki's a badass, and you barely can see him do anything in most of the anime. But in the manga, he does stuff. So, you know, you actually get to see him do something. You know, it's impressive. It's impressive. And the Chobana Rhino in it, too, is pretty neat. It's because they got one out. And no. It's also like a scholarship.
It's true, though.
It's not a medium to sell models. Well, some series are. Some series are. Like Build Drivers, that one's built to sell plastic.
but it is, though. Yeah. I mean, Cowboy Bebop was made to sell models, too, but it's still good. He's just not wrong, though. So,
hey, and introduced a generation of kids to jazz music. Okay, all right.
I mean, that is true.
All right, man. So it's a man. I wish somebody, on this nine picked that for theirs.
That's not my honorable mention. I was too young when I first saw it to understand the social commentary of it. I was like, cool, Spike's kicking people.
There's a lot of like cartoons and anime I recommend go back and rewatch when you watch it as a kid to see this, some of that.
Yeah.
Unlike the Chris Spangle show, this show has high tea and high energy. So sorry, Spangle, we can go all day if we need to. All right. Okay. All right. Besides, we're probably going to do a 24-hour stream where Reinhold reads you Terry Pratchett novels. So. I can do this.
Like, which character do I want to follow this time?
Stream. We get people in to come in to play characters. That'd be kind of fun.
Just watch me try to do the voices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's more fun this way. Right. Yeah. Speaking of voices, I did find like a class online to help DMs help with voices out. It's really expensive. I kind of want to do it, but help me out. So, you know, all my characters when I DM voices are just varying degrees of deepness, and I can have my lady characters actually kind of sound like just a deep lady instead of just deep me.
There was a movie version of Hogwatch that was done for Terry Pratchett. And there's a character in there called Tia Time, but it's spelled Tea Time. So people keep calling him Tea Time. And he's like, no, it's Tia Time. And it's just the funniest thing, the way he talks. It's hilarious. Unfortunately, there's not really been a good movie based off of any of his work. And it was actually a TV show recently called The Watch that was created. It was based off the Night's Watch. Very, 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 very loosely. And the fact that there might be a couple people with the same names in the show, but nothing is anything resembling it. The closest one I've seen to doing a good job is Going Postal. That's the closest I've seen to somebody really kind of nailing the way of the world in the comedy. But it's still not great, but it's still better than some of the other stuff that's been out there. Nobody knows how to do it. It's just hard to translate into a movie type thing.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. We can't hear anything here.
What? We mean? Oh yeah.
No audio coming to us. That's one way not to get copyright strike.
I know. Just remove the audio from it.
Yeah. Oh no! Pixel crush the whole image.
Yeah. Just to tell you the character's name, right? That's Death, of course. And the person he's talking to is called Susan. That's his granddaughter. And that's a whole story on how he has a granddaughter.
So he's got a granddaughter? Okay. All right. Yeah. That's cool. T-woo. All right. All right. Well, like I said, this is getting almost up to 2 hours of us doing this, and if I don't stop this, Reinhold will get this going all night and all day.
I can get more stuff here. I've got a whole list of quotes I can go through.
But I have Grandma just going to watch Gunther this weekend, so I can have some alone time with the missus. So
actually, I have a work thing I have to do soon too.
I'm ditching you nerds to go hang out with her. So. That's fair. I'm probably going to go get some Korean. I asked Vincent if you guys could come get some, but she was like, "Nope."
It's fine. I totally get it. It's a rare opportunity here. It's fine.
Yeah, and she's like, and especially not that skull she got. I was like, "Dang,
he doesn't know how to cook anything."
I know, he just burns stuff. Anyway, so thank you for everybody who's watching this. You could have been watching anything else in the world or listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to us, and that, I thank you. Thank you very much. So come and listen to another Low-Key Wall while we reach, while we get ready for our next episode, where we bring more media stuff like that. We'll also do some more gaming things here in the future. And just more, and maybe we'll just do another stream of conscious episode in. And I am going to probably also, like, as we work on things, trying to get more of the wall crew together. So we do some Jackbox party games here on the EO StreamYard to get everyone around, because that's one of my goals, to make people have fun. You know, it's not all stuck up people. You know who you are, the network, who's just stuck up their own self, don't know how to fun. Talk about
you. We'll have fun.
Talk about you, Hody.
At the point of getting
just joking. Love you, Hody.
Mandatory fun.
Mandatory fun. Thanks.
Fun is mandatory.
Oh man.
It's the title of a Weird Al Yankovic album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all right. I'm ending this show before getting
did too that for a. Did that for Christy.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Bye, everybody. Have a good one. Have a good afternoon, night, weekend, morning drive. Adios.